أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد
رسول الله. السلام عليكم and welcome to Islam in Focus. Our topic today is Jesus, the beloved messenger of Allah. I'm your host, Asad Mimish. And here with me from St. Mary's University is Dr. Jamal Betdawi. As-salamu alaykum, Dr. Jamal.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Now, Dr. Jamal, the title of this topic sounds rather unusual, I would assume, to many of our viewers. Maybe I'll ask you to clarify it in that how it relates to the previous discussion on prophethood.
Okay. It was indicated in the topic on prophethood that belief in all of the prophets and messenger of Allah is part of the Islamic creed. And denial or rejection of any of these prophets and messengers is tantamount to rejection of all of them, and a person cannot remain a Muslim if he rejects any of these prophets. It was indicated also that these prophets and messengers were infallible in a sense that there is nothing that they committed that would blemish their moral character or show any confusion about the matter of belief. And we indicated how that is different from the profile that we find, for example, in the Bible, in the Old Testament. It was indicated also that there have been so many prophets and messengers who have gone by in history. In some tradition, the number might go even as much as 124,000. But we indicated that out of all of these messengers and prophets, there are five who are Ulul Azm, the purest of the pure, the most major of all of these. That is Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Peace be upon them all. These are the major ones. For the Muslim, all of these prophets and messengers were Muslims in a sense that they are ones who submitted consciously, willingly, and lovingly to the command and directions of Allah, the Creator, and who carried also one basic message to the humankind. Now, the basic message was to invite people to worship Allah alone and to shun false gods. It was their duty to bring humanity forth from darkness to light, from the darkness of sin and false doctrines and ignorance, to the light of faith in Allah, obedience to Him, the light of knowledge, understanding, and certitude. This way, people can achieve happiness and felicity in this life and in the hereafter. It is within the context of this Islamic understanding of prophets and messengers and their duties that we find that the study of the personality, life, and mission of Jesus, peace be upon him, is very important, at least for two reasons. First, there have been a great deal of controversy and difference of opinion throughout history as to what exactly is the nature of Jesus. Was he human, divine, or both? And if he were both, how did humanity and divinity reconcile with each other? How the finite and the infinite were combined? Because of this, I think it is very important for the Muslim to understand what Islam teaches about this great messenger and beloved messenger of Allah, Jesus, peace be upon him, to compare that with the other views and interpretations that some of our Christian brethren may hold. Indeed, the program could be of interest and probably benefit even to viewers who are not Muslims, in the same way also that it might help the Muslim viewer. I am quite confident that many viewers of this particular segment of the series will find the series of some help in settling this controversy one way or the other. But I am also realistic and confident that it may not do so for many other viewers. But after all, tolerance, and particularly religious tolerance, is a much cherished value by sincere followers of various religious faiths. But that tolerance must be put to test, and hopefully through a rational and hopefully objective examination of various topics and issues like, such as this one, it might be of some help. After all, the Quran indicates it clearly that there is no compulsion in the matter of religion, in the matter of belief. After all, every human will be held individually responsible before the Creator on what he believed, he or she believed, or what he or she did. The second reason why this part relates to prophethood, and it is very important in my humble understanding, is that the study of the person, life, and mission of Jesus, peace be upon him, is particularly significant for the Muslim, because Jesus was the prophet who immediately preceded the very last of all prophets and messengers, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and as such he is the closest to him in this long chain of brotherhood of prophets. In fact, Jesus, Muhammad, and other prophets are partners in the obedience and service of their Creator, all of them, Allah. We might find out as the series unfolds, or the later topics, that according to the Quran, Jesus even spoke about the one to come after him to show people the whole truth. There have been a difference of interpretation of the Paraclete or Paracletus mentioned in the Gospel of John, especially chapters 14, 15, and 16. Well, in any case, this kind of affinity between the prophets, and particularly between Jesus and Muhammad, peace be upon them both, is very much reflected in one saying of Prophet Muhammad, as narrated both in Bukhari and Muslim, the translation of meaning, أنا أولى الناس بعيسى بن مريم. The translation says, I am, that's Muhammad says, peace be upon him, I am the nearest kin to Jesus, son of Mary, in this world and in the next. The prophets are brothers, the prophets say, sons of one father, their mothers are different, but their religion is one. There has been no prophet between us. In other words, there have been no prophet between Jesus and Muhammad, peace be upon them. So he's the closest in many respects. Indeed, I don't know of any religious faith in the world today, outside of Christianity, that makes believing in, loving, and respecting Jesus part of its creed and an article of faith without which the person cannot remain within the boundaries of the faith, but in the case of Islam. Nor do I know any other world religion that makes as frequent mention about Jesus by name in its most sacred scriptures as we find in the case of Islam, the mention in the Quran of Jesus.
Now, you have told us that Jesus, may peace be upon him, is mentioned in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent is the Quranic coverage of the subject?
Well, out of 114 surahs in the Quran, there is some mention, at least in some parts of these surahs, or some people call them chapters, in 11 of them, there is something mentioned about Jesus or relating to him. Just to give a rundown for those who might wish to conduct further research on this, I'll just mention quickly these surahs and the particular relevant passages. In surah number 2, passage 87, for example, it speaks about how Jesus was supported by Allah, or supported by Ruh al-Qudus, quote-unquote Holy Spirit in the Islamic sense. In surah number 3, we find that the title itself of the surah is the family of Imran, which is the family of Mary's mother. The particular relevant sections here are passages 32 through 64, which includes a variety of topics about the news of his birth, his miracles, how Allah saved him from the conspiracy to crucify him, how similar is he to the creation of Adam. And the third reference in surah number 4, particularly passages 156 through 159, it speaks that Jesus was not killed or crucified, but it was, quote-unquote, made to appear to them. This we can discuss later. Also, in passages 171 through 173, there is a negation of the exaggeration in understanding the nature of Jesus, an emphasis on his real status as the servant of Allah, his creature and his messenger to mankind. In Surah number 5, we find two references also in passage 49, indicating that the mission of Jesus was to confirm what remained intact of the Torah and to give glad tidings of the one to come after him. It mentioned about him receiving revelation from Allah, al-Injil, how blessed he was. In the same Surah 5 also, in passages 112 through 123, there is some coverage also of the miracles that were done through him, about his position in the Day of Judgment, in dissociating himself from those who deified him instead of Allah or alongside with Allah. Indeed, the title of that surah, by the way, number 5, is called Al-Ma'idah, the table spread, which gives also the Muslim understanding of what our Christian brethren understand as the Last Supper. And then in surah number 9, passages 30 through 31, there is mention there of negation that Jesus is the Son of Allah, Son of God, and indicating that this kind of teachings were not his teaching, but the teachings of other nations before, and that was incorporated actually by people who came after him. In Surah number 19, and by the way it's called also Mary, taking the name of the whole chapter or surah in the Quran from the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him, and more particularly from passages 16 through 37, it deals with the story of the birth and life of Jesus also in some detail. This is one of the major references. In Surah number 21, particularly verse 91, there is mention about the chastity of Mary and how Allah blessed her and her child. And it mentions something also about the place of his birth, not the city, but description of the place. In Surah number 23, in passage 55, there is mention about, again, in Surah 23, passage 55, there is mention about the place of his birth. In Surah number 43, passages 56 through 67, there is discussion of the nature of Jesus, his message, and how the sects differed among themselves after him. In Surah 57, passages 26 and 27, there is indication that he comes from the descendants of the family of Abraham, and it praises those who followed him in the exact teaching as he taught, not as incorporated by others after him, who followed his exact words. And finally, in Surah 61, that's the 11th reference in the Quran, Surah 61, in passage 6, it speaks how Jesus, peace be upon him, spoke about Prophet Muhammad and mentioned him by name. Ahmad is another name of Prophet Muhammad, that he's coming after him. This is as far as references which are direct. There might be other references in the Quran which bears in some meaning or the other on the story of Jesus. But I would recommend for any viewer who wishes to examine that issue further, in case you have a translation of Yusuf Ali, this is a very popular translation of the meaning of the Quran, in the appendix at the end, there's a special alphabetical indexing of various topics. And there is a whole section under Jesus. And then under Jesus, it talks about birth, message, end of the mission, and so on, various subtopics. And there is also given there the references to the chapter or surah and verse or ayah number. So these are indications, I should say, that there is a fair amount of coverage of the story, nature, and mission of Jesus in the Quran, the sacred scripture of Muslims.
Very good. Okay, let us examine some of those aspects, and maybe we'll begin with the lineage mm-hmm. of Jesus, may peace be upon him.
Okay, first of all, to give a general indication or elaboration on what I mentioned earlier, for example, in Surah number 6, in passages 82 to 85, there's a clear indication that he is of the descendants of Abraham. Okay. Now, more specifically, if we turn to an illustration we have here, that is in Surah number 3, and you can begin actually from verses 33 on. In the initial two verses, it simply says that indeed Allah chose, specially chose Adam, Noah, and the descendants of Abraham, and the descendants of Imran above all nations. So there's some mention here of the family of Imran. And then in this passage that we have here, I'll just read it to continue. Remember when the wife of Imran said, "My Lord, I have vowed to you what is within my womb. Accept it from me. See, you only you are the hearer, the knower." And when she was delivered, she said, "My Lord, see, I am delivered of a female." Allah knew best of what she was delivered. The male is not as the female. And see, I have named her Mary. And I crave your protection for her and for her offspring from Satan the outcast. And her Lord accepted her with full acceptance and accorded her a goodly growth and made Zechariah her guardian. Whenever Zechariah went into the sanctuary, that is where she was, he found that she had food. He said, "O Mary, where does this come from?" She answered, "It is from Allah. Allah gives without stint to whom he will." Then Zechariah prayed to his Lord and said, "My Lord, bestow on me of your bounty goodly offspring. See, you are the hearer of prayer." And the angels called to him as he stood praying in the sanctuary, "Allah gives you good news, that is of a son whose name is John, or Yahya in Arabic, who comes to confirm a word from Allah, lordly, chaste, a prophet of the righteous." He said, "My Lord, how can I have a son when age has overtaken me already and my wife is barren?" The angel answered, "So, that is so it will be, Allah does what he will." He said, "My Lord, appoint a token for me." The angel said, "The token to you shall be that you shall not speak to mankind 3 days except by signs. Remember your Lord much and praise him in the early hours of night and morning."
That's very good. Maybe I'll actually explain that passage and include a few comments.
Okay, well, that passage seemed to indicate that the mention of Jesus in the Quran even goes beyond the birth of Jesus himself.
I see.
It goes back to his family, even to the birth of his mother. It seems to indicate to us that the beginning actually starts with the grandmother of Jesus, that is the mother of Mary. This is referred to in the Quran as Imra'at Imran, that is the woman of Imran. So Imran is believed to have been the husband of Mary's mother, okay? That is his grandmother, I might say. Now, this woman, as the Quran indicates, was a righteous woman who came from a righteous household. And we all know from other sources also that the mother of Jesus, or the grandmother of Jesus, I should say, come from a priestly family, from the descendants of Aaron, the brothers of Moses. It is believed also that Imran himself was a priest, was a very, righteous person too. Now, the mother of Mary, that's the grandmother of Jesus, became pregnant. And when she became pregnant, she vowed to dedicate the child she had in her womb to Allah. What she meant by that is that she wanted to devote that child, if the child turned to be a boy, to the service of the temple. Now, when she delivered Mary, she wasn't really disappointed, but she was sorry that it came as a female, only for the reason that according to the Israelite law, only the males could be devoted to the service of the temple. That's why she says that the male is not like a female. However, we find that some interpreters of the Quran, like Sheikh Sha'rawi, indicate that the statement, the male is not like a female, could have been also a statement of Allah, the Creator. That is to tell the mother of Mary that no male would be like that female. That you're thinking of devoting a son to the service of the temple, but that female would be quite different. I have chosen her for a role which is much greater than serving a temple, that is to serve the matter of belief and to make her and her son as a sign of my power and my omnipotence to the whole world. So this is another way of looking at it. But whichever case, obviously she was wondering, you know, what should she do. Secondly, it says that she called her Mary. It is believed also that the name Mary means the one who is worshipper, that is worshipper of Allah. Then the mother of Mary made a prayer for Mary and her offspring, that is Mary and Jesus, as we can realize, to protect her and her offspring from the accursed Satan. Obviously, that means she expected her and her offspring to be pious and to continue with the same goodly prophetic tradition in the household, because Shaitan or Satan cannot have any power over the human unless he's away from his Creator. Obviously, the prayer of the mother of Mary was answered by the Creator, because we find that Mary was chosen for that important role, and from her, as we all know, Prophet Jesus came. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, expresses this meaning in a very nice way when he says that every child when he's born is poked by the Satan as soon as his birth, except Mary and her mother. Except for Mary and her son. Mm-hmm. Except for Mary and Jesus. Then the verse says that Allah accepted her goodly acceptance. And the Arabic word hasan is more than just acceptance. It's acceptance with much greater satisfaction. And that Allah made her grow a goodly growth, that is righteous upbringing. And then it says that she was given into the custody or the care of Zachariah. Why? Some historians believe that Imran died, that's the father of Mary. And shortly after her birth, her mother also died. There is another reference in Quran, however, in Surah 3, in passage 44, about various people trying to throw their lots, or try to find out who should really look after Mary. But it ended up anyway in the care of Zachariah because of the close family relationship. Because Zachariah, of course, was the husband of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth actually was the sister of the mother of Mary. And then it says here about something amazing, something different, that whenever Zachariah entered into the sanctuary on Mary, he found that she had food. Obviously, that seemed to show that she had provisions other than what he was providing her. So he asks her, where did you get this from? She said, it is from Allah. And that shows the beginning of miraculous life of Mary. May peace be with her. As a result, Zachariah started to call or pray to Allah to grant him a goodly offspring. Some of us might wonder, what is the connection between finding food miraculously with Mary and asking for offspring? The reason being is that Zachariah was an old man, was very old. So was his wife. In addition, his wife also was barren. And he really was always hoping to have a child so that the child may carry the prophetic tradition in the household and help continue to guide humanity. And of course, at that time, he was almost hopeless that he could get any child. A barren wife, both of them are old. And as such, when Zachariah saw that Mary could have food without the normal reasons, without the normal law that we understand, he remembered, it just reminded him that Allah also could provide him a son outside of the normal laws, even though he's old and his wife is barren. So there's a very delicate reference here as to why there's the connection between these two. And then it says that the angels called upon him. While it uses that in the plural, it actually refers to Jibreel, but it gives the picture of the sound of the angel coming from all directions, as if there are many angels telling him that Allah gives you a glad tidings of a birth of a child whose name shall be Yahya in Arabic, which in English is the equivalent of John the Baptist, whose birth was really a sort of paving the way for the birth, a more miraculous birth even, of one after him, that was Jesus, peace be upon him.
Now that's very interesting, and from the way you've just described it, it appears to me that there seems to be some connection between Jesus, may peace be upon him, and John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could develop this point a little further.
There are indeed a number of similarities, of course the most important of which is that in the case of birth of John the Baptist and Jesus, there is some aspect of a miracle. One miracle greater than the others, but both of them are unusual type of birth. Now, first of all, to make the comparison, Zechariah, as indicated, was very old and his wife was barren. So that shows that this birth of John the Baptist was actually miraculous, as implied, for example, from the Quran in Surah 3, passage 39, which is that Allah does or accomplish what he wills. In the case of birth of Jesus, again, we find almost identical terms used in Surah 19, passage number 9. كَذَلِكَ قَالَ رَبُّكِ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنٌ. Again, so it will be, your Lord says, addressing Mary, that it is easy for me. I did indeed create you before when you had been nothing. So this one similarity. Another similarity, that the name of John was given before his birth, when the news were given to his father, Zechariah, and that appears in Surah 19, passage 7. Also, the name of Jesus was given to his mother before his birth, and that appears in Surah 3, and passage 45. Thirdly, the life of Jesus was unique in many respects, so there was some uniqueness also in the life of John the Baptist. That's why the Quran refers to him in Surah 19, in passage 7, لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ سَمِيَّ. Samiyyah does not necessarily mean name, because there have been people with the name Johanan, which has been the Hebrew name. But Samiyyah means similar. He was unique in many respects. So was Jesus. Fourthly, it is known that Jesus, at least as far as we know, did not get married or beget any children. So was the case of John the Baptist. And that's the description given to him in the Quran as hasuran, someone who shunned away those aspects of life. Fifthly, that the soul of Jesus continues to live, as the Quran indicates, because the souls of prophets and martyrs continue to live. And the soul of John the Baptist does continue to live. Indeed, the name itself, Yahya, in Arabic means live, to continue to live, because we all know that John the Baptist was martyred, and as such he qualifies also for this eternal life of his soul. These are few of other comparisons between both of these great figures.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Badawi, and thank you all for joining us here in Islam in Focus. We would appreciate any of your questions or any questions you may have. Our phone number and our address will be appearing on your screen. From all of us, assalamu alaikum, hope to see you next week.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول